You're not gonna say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs and are they in harmony? You're a helpful snowman.
Hey, everybody. This is a rare morning show. It's not quite 8:30 in the morning. And I have the day off work, which means I'm headed to a volunteer job. I just found, sitting by my car on the pavement where I park, I think I just fucked somebody, but they didn't have their turn signal on. Oh no, they're just dumb. On the pavement, right next to where I park, was just a bullet laying on the ground. Which I'm like 90%, you know, I was like, should I pick up this bullet? What's going on? Like, I'm such a, I mean, I've shot a gun before. I've seen bullets before. But I'm such a non-American, I guess, that, you know, I can't recognize instantly what is going on with this bullet. The tip was painted green. I feel like that means something. Also, you know, when I did eventually pick it up with my left hand, because I was like, well, I guess if this, like, blows my hand off, I'll say, oh, well, there you go. And when I picked it up, I could tell it was pretty dented, pretty fucked up already, which made me feel better, I think, because it was like, well, I'm not going to shoot off this bullet, right? That's not going to be me. It's gonna be me. But then I'm like, what do you do with a bullet? Like, how do you... Let's say I have a bullet, and it was a real bullet that hadn't been shot off yet or whatever. How do I dispose of said bullet? Like, what do you... And, you know, I don't want to shoot it, or I don't have a gun. If I just found a box of bullets, let's say, laying on the ground somewhere, what do I do with them? You know what I mean? Because that was the thing that made me pick it up. I was like, well, okay, I'll just leave it, whatever, it's no big deal. And then I was like, hey man, it was like, what's that fucking movie? Is that Die Hard with a Vengeance? Where a couple different times in the movie, like, I think the good guys do it once and the bad guys do it once, where someone's like, you're just going to leave that there? Some kid could, yeah, it was the bomb in Die Hard with a Vengeance. You know, it's in the park and there's this huge bomb and they disarm it. And then Samuel L. Jackson is like, hey, you can't just leave that there. You know, some kid could pick that up and whatever. And it's like, oh, yeah. And then one of the evil German guys also does the same exact thing. It's really a moment where you're like, we're not all that different, are we? We're not all on our own individual islands. No one wants a kid to pick up a suitcase bomb, blow their head off. Head, hand, heart, you know, parts. Kid parts. Going past the 8th Avenue Arcade here. This is like a porno-ass porno store, man. Like, if you ever wanted to see a porno store, if you ever wondered what porno stores were like in the days before they were, like, friendly for anyone but creeps, that's the place to go. I don't think there's any windows. It can't be up to fire code. It was almost like at one time, you know, if you had a porno store, they were like, well, fire code doesn't matter because all that's going to happen is a bunch of perverts are going to burn up. So really, yeah, that's fine. That's not a not an issue we're gonna fight up against here. We'll just let that happen. So, we've alluded to it a little bit. And now I want to say for sure, what's happening with Helpful Snowball 2013 Part 2, and also the prize for Helpful Snowball 2013 Part 2, which we've talked about. Here's the situation. The way this is going to go down, Because I thought about trying to get all the audio and trying to do this and nearly had a heart attack. And I couldn't figure out exactly how to do it. So here's what I've decided. Rather than do it that way, all entries to Helpful Snowball 2013 Part 2 are going to be paper. And basically I have what I'm going to call a contest. And probably your average elementary school teacher would call a worksheet, where which you will use to provide your entry. And there are some additional items. You know, I'm not going to get into it here because, you know, I don't want to give anyone an upper leg or anything like that. A leg up? An upper leg? I don't want to give anyone an upper leg. And that's how it's going to go down. So it's going to be by snail mail, but also you could do it by email if you chose. Now, here's the part that I think some people might not like, but I don't care. The way that you will sign up for this snowball, the way you will receive your entry form, is by signing up for our newsletter. This is a phrase I never thought I would utter. You know, sign up for our newsletter. But we're having a newsletter. This is real. I'm not fucking around right now. This is a real thing that's happening. I feel like I have to justify this because it sounds like such a scumbag, markety, stupid thing to do. So here's why we're having a newsletter, first of all. I've got various endeavors going online, right? Got these books I sell online, I have articles I put up on Lit Reactor, and then the very occasional, the sparse, you know, blog post and whatever. And it's hard to consolidate all of these things. I've got book reviews, I've got all this different shit. It's hard to consolidate these all in one place. The other thing is, I was very convinced by a, you know, I watched this webinar about marketing, right? And so far, I've been unconvinced about the newsletter, because I just don't think I have anything that I would call news. However, it did occur to me more recently that it's like, well, you don't have to put news in there. You can just put the kind of shit you would put on the website and put it in a newsletter, and then just add a couple links to, like, hey, buy my book. You know what I mean? And I thought about, you know, serializing any new things that I'm working on, stuff like that. So this is going to be good stuff. Like, this isn't going to be shit. And it's not going to be something where you're getting an email, you know, three times a fucking day like I am from, whatever, SurveyMonkey. They're sending me shit, like, every day. And it's just like, I don't need to make a fucking survey every day. I mean, one survey every, like, 8 months, you bastards. But it's free, so what are you gonna do? So that's kind of the deal with that. But here's what convinced me, really, that this newsletter thing was a good idea. I've kind of been off the social media world for a while, mostly since I wrote that article in like July or August, and then basically a bunch of people took issues with the social justice of it, which I didn't agree with them, but having an argument with someone on Twitter is fucking pointless, because you can put barely any characters, and, you know, really, people just want you to say, like, well, I don't know what they want you to say. They want to be right, and they do not want to hear anything like, did you read the article, or did you just look at the three screenshots someone posted and then say, like, oh my god, this is terrible. I mean, this is like a 1,000-word article, and whatever. So since then, I've been off the social media a bit, and I don't miss it. Like, it's not a good use of time, that's for damn sure. It's not helping me out in my life. We're gonna move to this alternative way of getting things across. And what ultimately convinced me of this, of the utility of the newsletter versus other formats, was in this webinar, some guy was like, here's the deal with a newsletter. People check their social media a lot. People are on different social media, blah, blah, blah. But the universal, that if people are checking social media, they have email. And, you know, people check their email dozens of times a day on the average. Like, people are almost constantly checking their email. And therefore, if you're in their email, you're close to their hearts and minds. And, you know, when he didn't say the hearts and minds part. That's like what a dictator would say if they sent out an email newsletter. And so that convinced me, yeah, this is happening. Because I was like, you're right. I do check my email a lot, even though I don't really need to, A. And B, you know, even when I was using social media, I was checking that email more. Like, that was more... I was checking that more and looking through the stuff in it more. So that's why we're starting an email newsletter. Basically because we can and we should. And the way you will enter the snowball is by signing up for the newsletter, which will be abundantly clear how to do that on the website. And as soon as I have it set up, you know, you'll be able to sign up for it. So you may already have signed up for it, and you should have received your Snowball entry form if you did so. If you have not, please contact me immediately. The prizes. Now, I said there'd be one prize, but there will be more than one prize, because I thought it would be nice to give something to those who entered who, you know, can't, who don't win, but I'd like to have something worth their while. So, if you enter, what you're entering to win, ultimately, is episode 300 on vinyl and exclusive to you. You'll be the only one who possesses it besides me. I will possess a vinyl copy as well, because fuck you, it's my show. I mean, come on. But other than that, no one else will possess this. Now, I think that's pretty cool. Like, do you think that's cool? Are you guys like, yeah, this is a great idea? I think it's a great idea. You'll be the only one who possesses it. You can do with it as you please. So if you were to, if you wanted to release it on the internet, you could do that. If you wanted to keep it for yourself, you could do that. If you wanted to have, like, a private listening party at your house where you're like, you can come listen to this fucking stupid show, but you gotta come to my party, you can do that. You can do anything with it that you would like. I will put no restrictions. If you wanted to just destroy it, you can. If you wanted to hold on to it in the vain hope that it would be worth some money someday, you can do that. I would not advise that, because I feel like that's setting you up for disappointment and, you know, setting me up for disappointment when you email me in like 5 years and you're like, so... I was kind of hoping the show would go somewhere so I could sell this, and I'll be like, yeah, me too. Not so you could sell it, but just was kind of hoping, in general, that my life was going somewhere and my efforts were purposeful. But we can't always get what we want. That's probably enough versions of, like, do whatever you want with it, right? So you can do whatever you want with it. Now, the other entrants will receive a gift as well. And this gift will consist of a classy-looking piece of art that also, you know, basically episode 300, but expressed in a different medium. Let's put it like that. You know, you won't actually get 300, but you'll have some version of it. You know, you'll know that it exists this way, so on and so forth. So that's it. That's what's coming up. So the winner of Helpful Snowball 2013 Part 2 will receive episode 300. Deadlines. So after this episode of the show premieres, you will have 1 month for me to receive your entry. So... whatever date this goes live, you'll have 1 month to get your entry to me. I think that's a pretty fair amount of time. I think that's a pretty allowing amount of time. Now, we could run into a situation here where episode 300, you know, we get to 299 in the regular chronology, and episode 300 comes up before the due date, if you will. And if that happens, that's fine. Because all we'll do is we'll just start, go to episode 301 and just proceed as normal. Proceed as normal. It's my little rap remix of my own self live. So that's what's going to happen. That's looking forward to the next little bit here of what's going on and why it's going on and where it's going on and who it's going on to and from. This is all the information, in essence, that you need to succeed as a fan of this show. Now, I'm going to give you a little advice as well. I'm going to give you a little inside track, okay? What will help you be successful in this endeavor, the best thing you can do to help yourself out is to... Just kidding. I'm not going to tell anybody. Ooh, what an asshole, huh? What an asshole. Piece of shit. So there you go. That's life. Well, we're getting into the Christmas season. Can I just say how emotional I am about that? You know, nothing I love more than a good, Jesus Christ. So I have a balloon in my car. I got a birthday gift. So Poon Master Flex, like a week after my birthday, was like, you have another gift coming, you know, from somebody who's not me, but it hasn't worked out yet. I don't know when it's going to happen. And I was like, oh, well, geez, these fuckers know it's been like a week since my birthday, whoever these fuckers are. And she looked at me like, you know, she gave me this look, and I said, I'm going to regret calling them fuckers, aren't I? And she's like, yes, you are. And I was like, all right. We'll see. I guess we'll find out hopefully sometime in the next, you know, month. And what it turned out was my mom bought me a windshield for my car, which I desperately needed. If you're someone who believes that, you know, a windshield is something that should not be cracked, multiple cracks going most of the way across the windshield. You know, if you're one of those uptight jerk-offs. So, and she tried to be sneaky about it, which I thought was fun. But the problem was, so she had the guy, you know, they come in the van, and I was at work. I didn't see the van, I didn't see them doing the work, but I saw my mom walking across the drive-up book drop at my work, and was like, what the fuck, where is she going? Like, she's walking into the staff lot. And so then I went out there, and she was busted. But, and Poon Master Flex knew because she had stolen my keys. And I was like, do I regret calling them fuckers? I regret saying that they're fuckers, you know, my mom. But I don't regret it because it's very funny to me that I was like, what a fucker who's trying to fix my windshield. So she got me this new windshield, and, what she said is she's like, I had this like fantasy, which is probably not a good word for this, but she had this fantasy, this like vision of me, you know, I'm on the highway and my windshield just shatters and, you know, glass shards go into my eyes and I'm blinded and then it all starts from there. And that's what she said. She's like, and it all starts from there. And I was like, it starts from there, like the dissolution of my life. Is that what we're talking about? You know? And from there is when Pete's life went down the shitter. And I thought, all right, you know, that's fair enough. And I don't know, as you get older, when you're a kid, right, for Christmas, you don't like these fucking, these utilitarian gifts because it's kind of like, it's boring, right? You want to open a Sega, you do not want to open underwear. But as you get a little bit older, I think that the underwear comes back around because it's like, oh, I hate buying this, you know, I hate buying a fucking windshield. Because that just, it feels like throwing money away, even though it's something I could probably use and is a good thing to have. It's just like, it's not exciting, it's not fun. But when someone buys you a nice windshield, and you're like, oh, this is nice, like, I'm glad that I have this now, you appreciate it. So it works out. I think life has worked out that way. Although I still haven't, you know, had the... I know it's only a matter of time until something chips the windshield and I'll be like, God damn it. I had a nice thing for such a brief moment in time and it's gone. So as part of this, you know, my mom got me a balloon. Now, I got a balloon on my birthday from Poon Master Flex. She took it to my work. It was a Spider-Man balloon that had a great, you know, you would tap it and it talked and it said like, doesn't take Spidey sense to know that a great kid is having a birthday. Happy birthday. Wahoo! And he swings away on his web. I know this because I heard it no less than 25 times that day. Because various people were... when you have a balloon and it's like, touch this balloon and it makes a noise, who doesn't want to make the noise? Who's like, eh, pass. So I had this balloon in my car, and then when my mom got my windshield replaced, she also got me a balloon, and it says it's a boy. I don't know why. I don't know if the windshield is a boy. That seems to be, which, you know, I do not appreciate the gendering that my mom is doing of this windshield. You know, why does it always have to be a binary, Mom? And the thing is, I never realized before this last week or so how unsafe it is to drive with a balloon in your car. It's like having, you know how when you have passengers in your car and you're not used to it, and all of a sudden you're like, I never realized you had a big fat fucking head that I can't see around. You know, you're in the back seat, I can't see shit out of my back window. It's just like your dumb face is staring back at me in the mirror. And balloon is like that, except... way big, you know, it's like two or three times the size of a head in terms of broadness. And I can't see anything out of my main rearview mirror here. Like, that is a horrible, horrible thing. I am going past right now. I know I talked about this before. I'm about to go past the Country Waterbed store in beautiful Severance, Colorado. What a weird, I almost think that, like, that doesn't exist, and they were just like, this would be kind of funny. It's like the kind of prank that I hope to pull someday, you know? Eccentric millionaire, idea number 55. Just, like, just buy some properties and some spots, and just open, like, a country waterbed store in a town where, you know, there are, I don't know, less than 100 beds total. How many of them are going to be water beds? You know what I mean? But that would be fun. Just have this, like, little mom and pop water bed store, I guess. You know, there's some things that I think lend themselves well to mom and pop, right? There's some things that are artisanal or, you know, you kind of want that homemade quality too. Fudge. Okay, fudge is something that it's like, yeah, I'm into that. Or, Colorado-wise, beer is that way. Yeah, I'd rather see, like, a small, you know, single-owner beer place. That's cool. Coffee, probably, works out that way oftentimes. However, waterbeds is not one of the things that I feel strongly that it benefits from having a mom-and-pop touch. Like, mom-and-pop make, you know these, you tired of these corporate big-box waterbeds and their unfulfilled promises of comfort? Come on down to the country waterbed store, where each waterbed is vetted by mom-and-pop personally. You know, they've been sleeping on different water beds for decades, and they're ready to tell you which bed is right for you. It's not, you know, beds aren't a one-size-fits-all like these corporate waterbed stores will tell you. Who still has a waterbed? is a waterbed, like, a kid who's born today, a baby, are babies going to grow up and even really know what a waterbed is? You know what I mean? Are they going to have a concept? Because, like, I think about half my friends when I was a kid, I would go to their house, and either they or their parents had a waterbed. It was usually them. And I suspect, looking back on it now, that what was going on was that parents would buy a waterbed for themselves, realize that it was intensely uncomfortable to sleep on every night, and then just turn it over to their kid. Because they're like, whatever, when you're a kid, you're practically made out of fucking rubber. You can sleep on the goddamn floor and you're fine. So they're going to be A-okay. It's really nice when people come out into traffic and they're just like, well, this is how fast I'm going, so that's how fast you can go. And so I think that's how all these kids I knew had water beds, because their parents just rejected them. Which they were right to do. Because they don't seem, like, thinking about it now, I'm like, that seems so uncomfortable. I mean, I don't know, just considering it seems very uncomfortable. So I just wonder, you know, because, like, I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of people who are like, I'm going to buy a waterbed for my kid. Like, your kid does not need a waterbed, right? And who's going to do that? And so, therefore, what is the fate of the waterbed? What is the ultimate fate? I don't know. It seems like if you have a kid, you should buy him a bed that's like a plywood board or something. Because then any actual bed they get at some point will seem like a huge luxury. It'll seem like an amazing... oh, my God. What? I'm rich. I'm like a rich person now. In so many ways. So I don't know what the fate of the waterbed store is. That's a, you know, Disappearing America, a series by me. The waterbed, it's like my Andy Rooney. You can hardly find a waterbed anymore. What's the country come to when you can't find a decent waterbed? I think everyone at some point in their life thinks that they're going to be Andy Rooney. Like, everyone thinks, like, I could do that. And most of us can, to be truthful. Most of us have at least one or two topics that, you know, our boyfriends, girlfriends, aunts, uncles know, if you bring it up, will cause a, like, it. When you're first dating somebody, they will say, oh, this is funny. Like, ask him what he thinks about this. Sort of like how I'm like, oh, this is funny. Ask Poonmester Flex what she thinks about eating Twizzlers Pull and Peel by just biting into it without peeling it. She'll be like, it's called pull and peel. Pull and peel. You have to pull it and peel it before you know. And when you're dating someone, it's cute. And then, like, after you're married to them for 15 years, you're like, hey, we get it. You and your fucking horse shit about the... you know, your rant about beer kegs and how they should be square instead of round. We get it. Okay? Enough is enough. Everyone's got them. I cannot remember what I was talking about. This is a hard thing. This is why doing these in the morning is not conducive to success for me. Because, like, I'll just be talking, and then I say, like, I know I started talking about this for a reason, but what that reason is, I cannot recall. And I don't think I'll ever know. You know, and then you listen back to it. I listen back to it on occasion and think, like, Jesus Christ, you have, like, so many dangling threads here that never got resolved. This is making me crazy. And I did it. It's my fault. That's the worst part. You're like, it's my own fault. I did this. That sounded a little Seinfeldian, didn't it? But it is my own fault. I did this. I did this to myself. I did this to the world. I did this to everyone. Something I was gonna bring up for no real reason. Last last episode or two episodes ago, we were going through the Best of Greeley magazine. And, you know, having our fun with it, having our way with it, if you will. And I do occasionally get on the Reddit, because once in a while something fun comes up there. And when I am on there, I do frequent the Greeley subreddit. Because, why not? Basically, I mean, isn't that most of Reddit? Like, why do you do this? Because why not? I mean, what else is there to say? So I frequent the Greeley subreddit, and I think by far the most common post on there is somebody posts something along the lines of, hey, I'm moving to Greeley. You know, what's it like? Is this true? Is this like this? Is this how they say it is? Da 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 da. And, I grow very tired of this. And I'll tell you why. If you scroll down, people will answer the exact questions you're asking, because everyone asks the same questions about Greeley. So I thought maybe what I would do is a quick Greeley FAQ. Now, this is my perspective, so there you go. So here's what they'll often say. Now, one thing they'll say is basically they express their reluctance about moving here, or they're, you know, basically most people who post on there and say they're moving here are like, I'm being forced to move here. Like, I wouldn't choose to. I just want everyone to know that I'm being forced. Which I'm like, you're already starting off on the wrong foot. And I'll tell you why. When you come here, like, there are a lot of people who live here. Some by choice, some by not, you know, by force. And then most, I think most people live where they live because it's where they live. I think most people live somewhere and they happen to live somewhere that they like, and so they stay there, or somewhere they don't like, and they go somewhere else. Like, most people live somewhere, and they're kind of like, whatever, you know, I found a spouse here, I have a job here, and this is where I live, and I don't really think a lot about, like, how I'd rather live somewhere else. Or if someone said, would you rather live somewhere that had this and that, they'd say, sure, but would you rather live there enough to sell your house and do that? They'd probably say no. So when you say, though, like, when you make a big deal out of how forced it is and how you, you know, I do not plan to stay here past this date or something, people, I know this is shocking, but people don't respond very well to that. So just a heads up. I would say you're starting off on the wrong foot when you post in a forum for a city and you're like, I don't want to live here, but I'm going to, so what should I do? You know what I mean? So that's the first part. Hey, if you're going to live here, embrace it. And I'm not saying you have to feel the way everyone here feels. I'm not saying you have to be like, Greeley is number one. I'm just saying, if you're going to be here for 2 years, it's going to be a long fucking 2 years if you spend the whole time talking about how terrible it is, right? Which brings me to number two. Now, somebody got on there and was asking these kind of questions, but was a little different angle. She was like, I'm in this program at UNC, a grad program, and I just haven't been able to make any friends in town, you know, and I'm kind of hating it, and what should I do, basically? Which I was like, you know, I don't know how different that is. It seems like adults have a hard time making friends in general. Because it's hard to make adult friends. It's really hard. However, you know, I understand that when there's a smaller population that's mostly of, like, one demographic, it's a little tougher. And my advice to this person was like, well, what are you interested in? And, you know, she's not interested in, she doesn't really drink, you know, she will, but it's not like a thing. It's not like a thing to go to breweries. She's not really interested in, you know, weed. She's not interested in a lot of things that people are interested in around here. I don't know how I feel about calling weed an interest, but such is life, right? And so she had some interests, and they were definitely outside the norm. You know, nothing wrong with them, but man, they were not like your typical, you know, I like to watch football, I like to do this or that, right? And so, as someone with atypical interests myself, you know, my advice was about, like, you might have to initiate something. You know, if you wanted to start an adult spelling bee at a bar around here, you probably could. I think you'd find some enthusiastic venues for that. But I don't think it's just going to happen, and there's probably not, you know, I don't know, she's into some kind of weird dancing thing. Some kind of weird meditative dancing thing that I didn't really know what it was. Which really says most of what you need to know. It's not like I'm real up on my dances, but when it's a dancing style I have to Google and then find out what it is, the chances of a town this size having that available to the average person is pretty low. So, you know, I kind of my next advice was, like, you might have to start something on your own. You know, this is kind of how some things that I do started, like Santa Rampage or podcasting, for example, because you can't just come here and be on a podcast. Like, that's not an option. You have to make your own. Like, if you want it to happen, you're going to have to make it happen. And, you know, her thing was kind of like, I don't really have time to do that and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, no one does. That's the fucking problem, right? No one has time to do it. And I think this is a dastardly misconception about these sorts of things, like clubs and events and stuff, is that, like, the people who do them, you know, have no life and just enjoy doing them, as opposed to, hey, I just don't want to do nothing all the time. Like, I'm tired of not doing anything. This is getting a little personal, so let's just move on. You know, she didn't have time. And so my next thing was like, hey, if you're moving to Greeley, I highly recommend finding somewhere to do some volunteer work that does parallel your interests. Not related to where you work, and preferably not related to your school, or at least not the, you know, if you're in the business school, I would not volunteer for the business school. Like, find something else. Find something a little different. That's how you're going to find some different people. Because if you volunteer... Anyway. And she's like, I'd never thought of that. That's a good idea. And I was like, yeah, no one thinks of that. But, you know, it's a great way to meet some people. And generally, I think when you're volunteering, I mean, I'm biased, but you tend to meet, like, nice people. I haven't met a lot of assholes volunteering. Because I think that, you know, it's... What asshole is like, well, I'm a total dick, but I'm going to volunteer just so I can rub it in people's face or something like that? But the other thing is, my advice, if you live in Greeley, is, like, you will need a car. Like, you will not be happy there without a car. I can guarantee you that. You won't have access to everything you need or want. And also, I think it's kind of necessary, because I think a good thing about living in Greeley is exploring the surrounding areas. You know, whether that be the cities like Fort Collins, Denver, and Boulder, or the natural areas. You're going to want a car. Like, it's just not a survivable without a car place. It's survivable, it's livable, but it's not... If you're asking how, you know, you're going to be here for 2 years and how to make it good for yourself, I would not do it without a car. I wouldn't. Like, I just would not. I don't think that's going to be fun. Now, a lot of people ask about which side of town to live on, and they'll be like, I've heard this and that, and they also ask about, like, renting and stuff like that. And what I see on the board very often is people giving advice that is very dated or very, you know, crazy. I mean, I see somebody saying like, oh, my mom rents a 2-bedroom apartment on the west side of town for $750 a month. And I say, that's almost certainly not true. Like, that is not a reasonable price. While Greeley is cheaper than other Colorado spots, Colorado is a super expensive state to rent in, and the rents here are not cheap. Okay, so just know, here's what you have to do. Part of living in Greeley is you have to accept you're not going to be finding super cheap rent. It's not like being in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky. And you're like, I rent a room for $250 a month. You know what I mean? Or it's not. There are those people who have like a, somehow have lucked into a suite setup. And they will never let it go if they're smart. But for most of us, you know, I rent a studio apartment for $625 a month. Which I know sounds cheap if you live in a city or something like that. But for a studio apartment for where I live, that is not cheap. That is not like, it's not a bargain, let's put it that way. It's a reasonable price, but I could pay $100 less and still feel like I was, I wouldn't feel like I was getting away with something if I paid $100 less a month. So there you go. Now, they'll also ask about which side of town to live on. And I think I've got a good perspective on this, because I work on one side of town and live on the other side. You know, and this has been true for quite some time. So I've experienced quite a bit of both sides. And here's the situation. West side of town is the, what we would call nicer side of town, right? Whatever factors you use to determine that, I think for the most part people would agree, you know, it's richer, it's newer, it's cleaner. There's not students running around. There's not... you won't see a bum out there. That's for sure. And the east side of town is not that way. Now, keep in mind I say all this as a resident of the east side of town. Okay? As someone who chooses to live on the east side of town. This is how I feel. The east side of town is more interesting. You know, you can walk places, which is nice. You cannot, on the west side of town, there's nowhere to go. I mean, there's nothing out there. It's, you know, it's suburbs. It's like Tim Burton style suburbs where you don't see anything nearby. You're not nearby anything. It's just where you are. But, you know, people will say, like, don't live in this or that neighborhood. Don't rent in this neighborhood or something like that. I don't know if I have as many no-goes as maybe is typical. I don't know if I have as many points of reference for, like, I would never live in this part of town. The reason being, you know, I know people who live in most of the different parts of town, and, like, they seem to be getting by just fine. And it's not like a hellhole. And, you know, people will ask about the crime. They're like, I've heard there's a lot of crime in town. And it's like, I mean, there's crime. You know, there's gang activity. But it's not, in my experience, it's not hard to avoid gang activity. It's not like you have roving packs of street toughs trying to enlist you in a gang or something like that. It's just kind of, it is what it is, right? I mean, that's life in a small town. And, you know, a gang comes in and there you go. But I think that the gang activity of the town has been overrated. Possibly because it's a small town, so people think, like, any gang activity is, like, a crazy amount of gang activity. Which I sort of understand, because it's like, yeah, I don't know why we have gang activity, but we do. So there you go. But yeah, I think that my biggest advice is, like I was saying at the beginning, it's just like, hey, if you're going to move here, move here. You know, just do it, accept it, and be part of the town. Like, go out and see stuff and do stuff, and you know, don't. If you hate where you live so badly that you're just like, I'm gonna just talk about it all the time, you need to live somewhere else, like really badly. I mean, you can't. How can you go on that way? That doesn't seem like a viable way to live your life. It doesn't seem like a good way to go about things to me. It just seems like you're setting yourself up to be mad and sad and disappointed and whatever all the time. It just seems, you know, ridiculous to me. Don't do it. Don't bother coming here if that's what you're going to do. I'm not saying, like, foreigners, get out, or, you know, people who don't live here, get the fuck out. I'm saying, hey, welcome. But, you know, I'm probably... You're not going to find this a welcoming place if you aren't welcoming of the idea of living there. How about that? All right. I got to go. I got to go volunteer work. But good to talk to you guys. Sorry there weren't as many laughs on this one. But fuck yourself. We'll see you next time.
You're not going to say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two times. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs in?